Thank you. Well, I recently was trying to engage in practice that I think I didn't do right at all. So sorry, I'm a beginner, everybody. But so last year, there was someone in my life who did something that I thought was horrible, and I was very angry. Mm-hmm. So for Lent, being a Catholic, decided to practice metta every day for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so prayed for her every day and was, you know, imagining her and thinking compassionate thoughts. And by the end of Lent, which is Easter, I was even more angry. Yeah. So I obviously didn't get it right. So I was wondering if you could speak to that.
Well, again, that's when the Buddha gives us our sort of guidelines for, you know, how does it accord, does it accord with Dhamma or does it not accord with Dhamma? What the ways of deciding that is, does it increase suffering or decrease suffering, or sort of, you know, so okay, if it's not working, sort of suffering is increasing, happiness is decreasing. If it's peacefulness decreases, then okay, this isn't quite working. But if peacefulness, tranquility is increasing, okay, that's, yeah, you see that, yeah, that's according with Dhamma. Because it's the nature of the Buddha's teachings to incline us in that direction. And then, is it a causal factor for wholesome mental states to increase or to decrease? So the sense of the content of the mind, is there more greed, hatred, and delusion, or is there less? So that those are kind of, you know, rules of thumb that one can be investigating, and then sort of saying, okay, now if it's not working, now what do I do? I've done it by the books. that's the metta is high on the list of what the Buddha says we're supposed to do. So then you start investing, okay, how am I holding it? What expectation do I have? And so that we start investigating that sense of, oh yeah, I'm hoping that if I, you know, just sort of, throw the metta bomb, that it'll all go away. When you actually, there's more behind it than that, and I have to see that more clearly. And then so looking at expectation, so what was I expecting? What was I assuming? So then see, reflecting on that more clearly, because even if something can be, it's hard to imagine how directing loving kindness could be wrong in any situation. But then it's sort of, you know, as in it's how we hold it, and then how deeply offended we are, and that I'm not really willing to relinquish that yet. I'm not really ready to let it go. So then being able to come back and look at that more clearly, okay, why am I not ready to relinquish that? What is, and of course it comes back to that sense of self, the sense of me, and what am I holding? What was so deeply offended? And being able to investigate that. And then, you know, sometimes it's just by holding it, throwing it up in the air as all the possibilities are there. And then sometimes you sort of say, oh, well, there's some new perspective comes up, or an idea of, oh, I could deal with it like this. And so that one gets a bit of an insight of, oh, okay, I can come around it this way. There's a teacher, another one of Ajahn Chah's teachers, and he had a very simple kind of way of encouragement in practice. He said, if the kilesas, the defilements come at you high, then you duck. And if they come at you low, then you jump over them. You know, so it's like, okay, you just got to find a way around them.